We pray. Father, God of all grace and glory, how you have blessed us to bring us into the light of your love, your forgiving grace. You have created us anew to be your children, and you have prepared works for us to do, for us to set our hearts and our lives to proclaim your glory, to praise your holy name in highways and byways and wherever life leads us. Guide us ever onward, that your love may flow through our hearts into the lives of many others. In Christ our Savior, amen. The three-story Victorian home had been perched on this oceanside cliff for over 100 years. Generations of children had run up and down its porch, jumped off its steps, and rolled in the grass. The ocean breezes blew through the windows, ruffling all the curtains of every room, and rushed out the back door. It was a magnificent home, until erosion ate away at the cliff and the house tumbled off its perch, crushing face down into the ocean. Do we ever feel that America is like that house, slipping off of its foundation, crashing into the abyss, with the waves of every crazy idea ripping its planks apart? If we feel our world is upended and almost unrecognizable, how much more did Peter in his day and age feel the upheaval to have the Son of God killed and then rise from the dead and ascend back to his throne on high? The Messiah's arrival and departure changed everything. Or maybe nothing. What was next? Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. How was that going to happen? In our reading this morning, Peter was in Joppa, a little village on the southeastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea. He was praying, and suddenly he fell into a trance and saw an incredible vision. We don't know whether in his vision he saw himself out in a great big field somewhere or in a big vacant space. He saw, however, a large sheet coming down from heaven from its four corners, lowered down to him, and as he looked in, he saw every kind of animal, clean and unclean, lambs and goats, along with zebras, frogs, and pigs. God told Peter to kill and eat. This alarmed Peter. Kill and eat? What? Not just because those animals were hard for our tongues to actually swallow, like worms, cockroaches, and skunk. But it was repulsive to Peter because God had told his people not to eat certain unclean animals. That was not for his people Israel. They were not to eat unclean animals. And if they did, or even touch them, they would have to go through a ceremonial ritual of cleansing before they were allowed to come and worship their Lord. Unclean animals were pictures of the unclean pagan nations all around them. The unbelieving Gentiles would lead the Israelites into sin and would urge them to wander away from the Lord their God. God's chosen people were to separate themselves from those Gentiles and everything that was unclean so that they would remain the nation of Israel. the nation from whom the Savior would be born. In the Old Testament, Joshua warned the Israelites as they entered the Promised Land, "Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." Now, however, three times in his vision, he saw a sheet lowered from heaven. Three times he was given the command to kill and eat. Three times Peter replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." Three times Peter was told, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." God has made filthy swine clean. Pigs were one of the muddy, dirty, disgusting animals that symbolized the Gentiles, that they loved to eat. It symbolized their wickedness, their disgusting and unclean attitudes toward God. Now that the Savior has come, spilled his blood, and risen in victory, everything has changed. Amazing love. Even filthy swine are clean. Isaiah prophesied how God would cleanse all the nations. The Father, speaking to his Son, said, "It is too small of a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Judah and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Peter finally woke up from his trance, and at that very moment, there was a knock at the door. Peter tells us what happened. "Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house." That's no small thing for an Israelite. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon them, as they had come out on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So, if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? How would Peter and the other apostles go and make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? The Holy Spirit would go ahead of them and prepare the way and open up new opportunities for sharing the gospel, creating a surprising welcome in the hearts and homes of people very different from Peter. The Holy Spirit was calling for Peter to bring them the gospel message through which they and all their household will be saved. Peter, in love, share the message that saves. In God's amazing love, even filthy swine are clean. Jesus died to pay for all people's sins, whether we're Israelites or non-Israelites. Peter told this swine made clean how Jesus had saved him from his sins. And the Holy Spirit gave faith to this Gentile and his entire family as well as they heard about Jesus, their Savior. Peter explained what happened next. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. It was like the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem all over again. Only this time the Holy Spirit was poured out on a Gentile and his family. They spoke in wonderful languages, praising their Lord and Savior. There was now no distinction between Jew and Gentile, for all have been saved through Jesus' blood. Peter, in love, share the message that pours out the Holy Spirit. The apostles went out into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, reaching out for strange, filthy, lost souls of every nation, and language, century after century, until they reached those swine-filled shores of America. From apostle to missionary, to teacher, to pastor, to father, to mother, the word went out to pagan Romans and Norsemen and Visigoths, Moors and Buddhists and Egyptians and Indians. Had God not moved his people and empowered their witness throughout the centuries, why, we would still be bowing down to totem poles, burning incense to forest gods, running after trolls, elves, and sorcerers, or praying to the gods of Mount Olympus. God continued throughout every generation to go ahead of his people, preparing opportunities to share that gospel, opening up new hearts and homes and lives to hear his glorious message in a people very different from our own. God has called children from every generation in love, share the message that saves. That is what has brought us into God's family. Amazing love. Even us, filthy swine, are cleansed in Jesus' blood. We who were not the children of God are now the children of God. Redeemed, restored, and forgiven. Those who came before us in love shared that message that pours out the Holy Spirit. Now it is our turn. Why are we here? Why did God give us birth at this moment in the world's history, in this corner of creation? Do we live in order to pile up a fortune of wealth? Or to cure every disease? Or to have as much fun as we possibly can before we die? Those are the life goals of the fallen world. God's amazing love has grabbed us, sacrificed for us, made us his own, and will not let us go. God's amazing love calls for us to go and share how he has made sinners clean, sacrificing his son Jesus in our place, declaring us forgiven and holy in his sight. Will we carry this message into another generation, into our hearts and homes of our children and their children and their children after them? We have the very same mission in life as Peter had. In love, share the message that saves. Share the message that pours out the Holy Spirit. Now is the time to carry the gospel message that saves out into the pagan homes of humanists, hedonists, narcissists. Who do we know? Who does not know the Savior? A neighbor, a friend, a relative, an enemy, perhaps even someone who is disgusting in our eyes. Oh, how they need to hear that Jesus gave his life in payment for their souls to make them sinners, saints of the sinner. What is the most loving thing we can do for anyone in this world? Share the message that saves. Share the message that pours out the Holy Spirit. Even to us Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. When a three-story, century-old Victorian home slides off of its cliff and crashes into the ocean, our hearts skip a beat. It reminds us that this world is tumbling off of its foundation, doomed to destruction. Our days are numbered. The time is short. Oh, that the entire world would repent and believe in Jesus as their one and only Savior. Cry out from the highways and byways, over the back fence and in the workplace, come see your Savior. Banquet at the salvation that is prepared for you. Eat the bread of life and live forever. In Christ is a home on a firm foundation that will never be destroyed. That is paradise. Gather in as many as we can while there still is time. God's amazing grace changes everything, even for them. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, what power you have unleashed through your glorious gospel to bring people from death to life, from darkness to light, from hell to heaven. And so we pray, dear Lord, just as you have poured your Holy Spirit and your truth divine into our hearts and lives, so use us as ladles and pitchers, dear Lord, that we might be ambassadors of your grace and goodness. Guide us ever onward. Prepare places for us to go and tell what our Savior has done, all to your glory. In Christ our Savior. Amen.